Welcome back. We're in Psalm 31, verse 4. The psalmist cries out. He says, "Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength." Do you have any entanglements with the world? Then you're tangled in a net that they use to control you, to keep you from his benefits. They've entangled you into their benefit system, contrary to the Heavenly Father's word. You can go to Proverbs 3 there and read all about it, or go to my Proverbs Bible study we get into it quite in depth, the instruction there from that book of wisdom, the Proverbs. Pull me out of the net. We need to examine all of the entanglements that we have with the world system. Anywhere we have cast in the lot with ungodly, where we have one purse with them. These are the things that the scripture says we should not do. So we need to withdraw. And I know that they pass laws to enrich themselves, and we've discussed that a little bit, where they pass laws to enrich themselves, and they say, oh, it's for the good of society. It's for your own good, or it's for the children, or it's they have good intentions. So they pass laws where you have to take part in their ungodly benefit system. And they make you a lawbreaker against God's law, of course, to keep their law. And that's where the line has to be drawn. If they make a law saying that I can't do this or I can't do that, I will keep that law. But when they make a law that says I have to do something, and that something that I have to do causes me to break God's law, then I have a problem, because his law is higher. See? Negative laws are easy. You know, unless they tell me I can't do something that God requires me to do, then I have a problem. And that's what we need to do. We need to look at all of our entanglements with the world, and we need to judge them all according to God's law. We need to say to ourselves, should I be entangled in this? What does God's law say about it? Well, if God's law is neutral about it, then you don't really have to do anything about it. But don't deceive yourself simply because it's convenient. And that's what most people do. Most people will capitulate just for convenience sake. What are they going to do? And all of them are looking forward to the futurist fantasy when some antichrist character, like the movie Left Behind, is going to rise up and he's going to get out his soldiers with guns and they're going to say, receive the mark or die. And they're going to go, oh, I guess I have to die because I can't receive the mark of the beast. If it's inconvenient now and just the inconvenience causes you to capitulate, what makes you think you're not gonna capitulate when it costs your life? Or when they drag your wife and your children out before you and say, receive the mark, or we're gonna torture them. We'll rape your wife and your children and kill them in front of you. You think you'll capitulate then? If you capitulate for convenience now, what makes you think you're gonna stand under terrible pressure at that time? Yes, so examine all of your entanglements in the light of his word, and put off all of those things that are against his law and against his word, and forget none of his benefits, because most people will do it just for benefits or because it's inconvenient. Well, because of course the world makes it inconvenient to live in their society without capitulating to them. That's kind of how it works. They're going to say, oh, you don't want to go along with the crowd? That's okay. We're going to make it easy for you. Not for a minute. Don't even believe it. And they do it. And here the psalmist says, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily. Okay, well, the illustration is perhaps someone lays a net privately and hides it under some leaves and branches, and so that you may perhaps walk onto it. But if they lie to you, if they lay the net before you and they say, this is a good net. This is a net for the benefit of society. This net is for your own good and your children's. This net is for the benefit of us all. We're only laying this net for, 'cause we have good intentions for you. Meanwhile, they're passing insurance laws where they all have one purse and they're requiring everyone to pay it. But it's a net and they want you to walk into it. Social Security is such a net. They want you to walk into it. They want you to volunteer for it. And once they get enough volunteers, then they can force everyone else. And the force is coming for everything soon enough, when the lamb-like beast starts to speak like a dragon. And I believe if they have a constitutional convention, which may be coming to a neighborhood near you shortly, I think that when they actually get rid of that, the band that binds them here, and even the illusion of it will be gone, I think you'll see something terrible will come up, because the beast will begin to speak like a dragon, and its image will be cast into the image of the first beast. And we know what the first beast did for centuries. It hunted down and killed Bible-believing Christians. It killed men for believing in the Bible. It killed men as heretics for printing the Bible, for disseminating the scripture in the language of the common man. And also, at the same time, it killed people who believed in another god, the Jews, favorite target of the first beast throughout history. And of course, Islam, which the first beast created to control and use, which got out of hand. I hope you're getting the picture, but it's coming. The scripture says it's coming. Yeah, we could have a reprieve. Yes, perhaps we could turn it back, but there's only one thing that'll turn it back if we have time for a reprieve. And it's not by the activism of big mouthed people who keep pointing at the symptoms of sin, because sin is a reproach to any people. It's righteousness that exalts a people or a nation. Since our nation is not being exalted, it's the sin that's the reproach. But they keep pointing at the results of sin rather than the sin. And they become famous because people don't want to look at their own sin. They're not going to change things. It's those who start to practice righteousness, those who love the Creator and keep His commandments. We are the ones who could bring a reprieve, who could extend the peace such as it is by practicing righteousness. But even a remnant in Israel could not save Israel. So it gives me little hope for America that there would be enough righteous people. I look at the society, I look at the culture, and it looks like we're headed down the same road that Israel headed down when they went to desolation. Pull me out of the net. So we all have to get out of the net. That's the only hope, really. See, all of the big mouths out there, that are the so-called truth patriot movement, they're all saying, stay in the net. You can practice unrighteousness. They're saying the law is nailed to the cross. But it's those guys over there. And it's this group over there. And then people don't change. They continue to practice their sin and embrace the spirit of the age, the zeitgeist. That's part of their truth movement. Well, that's the real spirit behind most of them, even while they proclaim godliness but deny the power thereof. So, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. Yes, they lied to me. I believed them. I walked into the net. But He opened my eyes. I saw the truth because I studied His word for myself. I didn't just take their word for it when they preached in the pulpit, or they pointed at these people or those people while they enjoy the benefits of staying in the net themselves. They enjoy the convenience of the net of sinners having one purse with them, enjoying their benefits. But I say with the psalmist here, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For Thou art my strength. I don't need their strength. I don't need them to take care of me when I get old. I don't need the strength of their benefits and their convenience. He can sustain me. The psalmist continues, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me. He has redeemed us. So why do we look to the world? Why do we stay entangled in their net? By wisdom, we can become disentangled from the net of the world. We can become free from that net. And yes, we may have to suffer persecution. And there is a persecution. You lose privileges in the world when you disentangle from their net. But he says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Yahuwah, God of truth. He is the God of truth. Another entanglement is the 501c3 not-for-profit incorporated status with the state. They entangle you to control you, to control your ministry, to control what you say. They want you to compromise, and one compromise leads to another. And once you become hooked on those tax-deductible donations, they have you right where you want you. They want you. Oh, and if you break their rules, they come after you because they don't like you taking advantage of their privileges, of their conveniences, of the devices they have set up to promote their ideas, their agenda, their false religion, their false beliefs. They don't like you using their devices against them and breaking your covenant with them. Because to use their devices, you have to covenant with them. Now, if you can use their devices against them without covenanting with them, then go ahead and do it. That's like taking the weapon from your enemy and using it against your enemy. That's one thing. That's a different thing than staying entangled in their net. Because they've got you in their net, and they'll use everything they can against you. Chapter 31 and verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities. And their media, the mainstream media, even the alternative medias are full of lying vanities. He says, but I put my trust in Yahuwah. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, and thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, Yahuwah, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul in my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, Yahuwah. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord. Let me not be ashamed, Yahuwah, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. You know, I like that. I'm praying that one. Yes, Heavenly Father, let the lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Let it be so. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. You know, but I have to addendum that prayer with, if perchance, Heavenly Father, if there's hope, let them repent and call upon your name, that they be enemies no more. But if there's no hope for repentance in them, and only you, Heavenly Father, only you know whether there's hope for repentance in them or not, because he knows all things. He knows all things. And if there's no hope, yes, let them be silent in the grave if there's no hope for them, because all they can do is bring upon themselves more suffering for eternity, and all they can do is persecute the righteous with their lives. The little bit of enjoyment, the little bit of good that they'll experience for the rest of this life, is that worth the added misery and punishment that they'll receive in hell? So we do them a favor by praying them into the grave if they are beyond hope of repentance. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Are you hidden in the secret of his presence from the pride of man? It's a good place to be. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Doesn't say he's going to keep the strife of tongues from wagging, but he keeps us secretly in his pavilion from the strife of tongues. Yes, though they wag. Blessed be Yahuwah, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Yeah, you ever feel that he doesn't hear? But he says here, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. He hears, he sees. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Oh, love Yahuwah, all ye his saints, for Yahuwah preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Yes, let everyone be rewarded according to their works. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in Yahuwah. Psalms chapter 32 and verse 1, a psalm of David. And we have a Hebrew word here, a maskil, a didactic poem, an instructive poem. See, I don't know why the translators did that. They didn't translate that word. They just left the Hebrew in there. A psalm of David, an instructive poem, it says in the Hebrew. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, in our mortal flesh, we still carry around this corruption, and our sin is still present with us, but it is covered, and our transgressions are forgiven, and they're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Blessed is the man unto whom Yahuwah imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And, you know, all I can say is, as I can pray, I want to be one of those. You know, let me be one of those who's blessed, because my transgression is forgiven, my sin is covered. Blessed, because iniquity is not imputed to me, in whose spirit there is no guile. And what does guile mean? Perhaps we should look at the word guile there. It means falsity, deceit, idleness, slack, slothful. So it could cover all of those things. Treachery, remissiveness, in whom there is no guile. Well, these are none of the things that I aspire to, so I hope I could say there is no guile. In my dealings with my fellow man, I pray there be no guile, that I be cleansed from all guile. Let me be one of those, Heavenly Father. In verse 3 of chapter 32, when I keep silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, My moisture is turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Yahuwah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And here is, I believe, I see the importance of acknowledging our faults, our sins, our iniquity before our Heavenly Father. First, we have to acknowledge them before ourselves, and before we can acknowledge them before Him. And I believe that's the hard part. Most people don't want to see their own sin. And, you know, that's like that, that Pharisee, one who they would call a hypocrite, who was standing and praying, and he said, "Thank God I'm not like that sinner over there." He was blind to his own sin, his own iniquity. But the sinner was over there on his knees saying, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." That's what David is expressing here, that same sentiment. Well, that's all we have time for today. You've been listening to Cross the Border, and remember, there's nothing more important than that you cross the border into His kingdom and live forever. Hallelujah.